It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
What is this feeling? Is it? Could it? Maybe? Is it optimism?
It's happiness, man.
Is it happiness? Is it joy? Happy, happy, joy, joy? What's going on here? Welcome into Overtime here, live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Tanner Carson, Malcolm Harris, Justin Feist, and Matt King are with you today. And guys, I think we just saw a real victory. And not a victory that just counts in the win column over UT Chattanooga, over a directional school, the discount UT. I'm just taking a bunch of unnecessary shots at Chattanooga there. Chattanooga's a fine city.
Great, great school.
I had friends that graduated from UTC, but that's besides the point. Mississippi State. Ouch. Man, they're not happy. But who cares? Who cares?
Who cares?
I know I don't.
I don't either.
I don't. We won a game. Malcolm, we won a game.
We won a game,
how
brother.
How are you doing, my friend? Have a good weekend. You were in person at Neyland Stadium.
I was in Neyland Stadium, man. I felt like a kid in a candy store. It was very, very, very much so an awesome experience. You know, I'm not Justin Feist or Matt King, though. I'm not the GOAT like those two gentlemen, but I'm okay.
Look at that. Why are we GOATs?
Look at you.
Oh.
Look at
thanks,
you.
Thanks, man.
I mean, look at you.
I mean,
though.
You're the leopard. Rawr. You got a leopard shirt on right now.
I'm not the dino like AJ Johnson, but, you know, I'm the leopard.
Fantastic weekend he had as well.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that a little bit later.
Good to see y'all boys, man.
Good to see you too, Malcolm, especially on these terms. I mean, we had tried to get a little bit of hope all last week. You know, the seeds were kind of planted against Georgia, right? Brian Maurer makes his first start. You actually moved the ball up and down the field against a top three team in the nation. Sure, you end up losing by 29, but as we said multiple times last week, there's some little bit of hope. And we took those little seeds of hope that were planted and turned them into a 20-10 victory over the Mississippi State Bulldogs and
yes,
their damn cowbells.
Which I heard zero of in Neyland
Stadium. I don't think they're allowed to bring them to any other stadium. I think it's only a Mississippi State home game thing. So, yeah. So I don't think they can bring them anywhere.
No.
Why are we all looking outside? Oh, hi, Bear. Trying to sneak in here. But anyway, yeah, it's very important. Chargers very important.
Extremely important.
Incognito, just trying to come in here.
I mean, he is
just like a little ninja, man.
Light-footed as all get out. That was so impressive.
That was very impressive right here. But yeah, I mean, I can't blame him coming into the studio, joining in on this victorious, momentous occasion right here. Guys, I don't know where to start right here. And of course, I'm not acting like Tennessee won the Super Bowl or anything. You're still 2-4 on the season. We know what's coming Saturday. Let's hold off a few days before we talk about
that.
That's
cool with me.
I'm good to not talk about that game even existing until like Thursday.
Perfect.
Wait, I thought we had a bye week on Saturday.
I don't think we're playing Saturday, man. I think it got canceled.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Look at a third bye week?
Yep.
Amazing. Finally, everything's just coming up Tennessee. It's fantastic right here. I actually do know where to start here. We finally saw, and we'll go round table here in a little bit to get y'all's takes on the biggest takeaways here. Mine, at least, is among the many things that you could take away from this. Number one is the fact that I don't care who you were playing. It doesn't really matter at this point. The fact is that you lined up with a team in your same conference in the SEC. And defensively, Whew, that is a defense that looks like it was orchestrated by Jeremy Pruitt. I think for maybe one of the handful of times since he's been here in the year and a half, you can say that. Maybe you say Kentucky last year, too. They did play pretty well against Kentucky last year. Other than that, this might be it. This might be like the second time. And given these circumstances, it's fantastic. Given who stepped up, even more fantastic as well. That's my biggest takeaway. I'll run through the stats one more time here. These are just the big ones. Seven sacks. Seven.
Seven of them. Seven. Mm-hmm.
Seven. Seven. Ten TFLs.
Ooh.
That's double digits, in case y'all didn't know that Tim was double digits. And three Trace interceptions. From defensive line to linebackers to secondary, defense played lots out.
Top to bottom.
What's y'all's biggest takeaway from the game? Because that's mine. There's a lot of places we can go with this. Not everybody jump on this at once. I mean, it's not every day we come in here a Monday after an SEC win. Well, take all the time you need to.
I was going to say, was it our defense playing well or their offense playing poorly?
See,
I mean, we're going to get into a greater conversation and discussion of this, but I mean, the win was incredible. Maurer came out and threw a couple TDs before he got bent in half.
Interceptions.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's stupid. Still, he still gave his all. He did lead a touchdown drive.
Yeah, a touchdown.
Yeah.
But
a singular touchdown drive.
Matt, what'd you like?
It was awesome because Tennessee controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides, the defensive line, which we have not seen do anything except for kind of stop the run in SEC play. They came up with, like we said, seven sacks. It wasn't just the defensive line, though. I saw Bryce Thompson have a killer sack. He flew in the backfield and smacked their quarterback.
Beautiful.
And the offensive line ran the ball really well. The comparison was made to the Kentucky game last year, and I think the game plan is almost exactly right. You score when they give you a chance, and then you just control the clock and run the ball until the game is over. Same thing.
I mean, yeah, let's just talk about the other side of the line, too. Defensive line not only played great, got to give a hand to this offensive line as well. It shows in the accolades, Trey Smith being named co-offensive lineman of the week in the SEC. So, well-deserved. He killed somebody. I saw the one highlight. He pancaked the lights out of somebody. You'd love to see it. You really do.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
Tell it to me, buddy. Tell it to me, Trey. There is something about them orange britches.
Something about them orange britches.
Trey was a big fan of the orange pants, by
the way.
Yeah, he was. Let's bring that up to, the all orange. You got to know. Y'all knew the second that they tweeted out that video of in the locker room. They almost hung the white pants up, and then at the last second, switcheroo, orange pants. You knew it was a
difference. I didn't even pay attention. In the background, some orange pants were already hung up in that video. I didn't even notice. And then when he actually did the switcheroo, my heart sunk. I was like, okay, get your stuff. Let's go.
You knew it was a dub.
Get in the car.
You just knew it was a dub at that point. But in all seriousness, no. I mean, go out there, and I don't think it all had to do with the pants or anything like that. You at least see that the team, energy-wise, they haven't given up, which is fantastic to see. They knew they had a much more winnable game than they've had in the last few weeks. And they came out there. They played with a lot of intensity. They played their assignments very well, especially on defense. And what do you know? You come away with the win. It wasn't a pretty win. It certainly wasn't a pretty win. But it's a win nonetheless.
I cannot remember the last time Tennessee has won an SEC game in October, just being completely honest.
Last year when they beat Auburn. In October.
Was that in October?
Yeah, I did get the Facebook memory today about, like, the day after.
Okay.
I posted some meme.
Pardon me. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But, yeah, they're rare, though.
But before that, I mean.
But you do have – I see your larger point. They are rare because usually it's the meat of your schedule. Obviously, it's going to be in the middle of the season in October. Usually a lot you haven't been coming out getting wins in conference, and a lot of those times they haven't been close. For the first time since you beat Kentucky, that wasn't only your first SEC win since then. That's the first time you didn't lose by 25 plus points.
they just look completely different, especially on defense. Like, I cannot say enough about Jeremy Pruitt and his defensive staff.
Other quick notes here. I know another big thing here, too, is the unsung players that showed up big. I'm going to start some other names here before I get to game MVP, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, too. Darryl Middleton.
Yes, sir.
Huge sack.
Huge.
Breaking that offensive line. On that same drive, too, I think it might have been the exact play before it. Kayvon Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Butler has a sack.
Yes.
Like, what? Who are these people? I feel like Patrick looking under his rock and all the eyeballs. Who are you people? Like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do seeing all this. The first of the three interceptions, Kenneth George Jr.
There might be a baller on that other side.
I've been waiting on him. I've been waiting on him to make some big plays like that. Good to see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, and Malcolm, I want to save yours for a little bit. I'm not going to mention yours. Okay. I know who you're going to mention.
Okay.
Game MVP is Tyler Bird.
The bird is the word, man.
Three catches, 56 yards, a touchdown. Has the game-sealing 39-yard catch and run. I saw somebody tweet during the game after the touchdown. You know what? JG checking down, I've actually won the game. Never thought you'd see that.
Ever, man.
Malcolm, I know who you want to sing the praises of.
Dale Carter's son, man.
Whose son? Whose is
Dale
that?
Dale Carter's son, man. I'm talking Nigel Warrior, man. Dude, it's best ball he's played. I mean, I didn't think he could be better than Georgia. He was simply phenomenal from the beginning of the game until the end of the game.
All over the field.
I saw him dancing in pregame warmups. I was like, oh, he's about to screw us over today. I was so wrong. I was so wrong, man. Keep dancing because you're really balling right now. So
when Tyler Bird walked in the end zone, a single tear rolled down my cheek. I just sat back and went, "He did it, man!"
I saw him cut to the sideline, and he was just coming right at me. I was in the end zone, underneath the band, and I just saw free space, and I just had the dumbest, happiest grin on my face. Just ran right to me, straight to his boys.
I'm happy for so many of those players. I'm obviously happy for Tyler Bird because he could have transferred at several points over the last couple of years. He really could have.
Easily.
But he has stuck around. He got rewarded for it. He really did. Now, if you just look at the box score, the stats aren't going to jump off the page to anybody. Just three catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown. But obviously the touchdown was gigantic. That's one of the biggest plays Tennessee has had under Jeremy Pruitt, most definitely so far. And then, of course, like you said too, Malcolm, Nigel Warrior. Again, somebody who is just, he's a senior now. This is his last chance. I guess better late than never to make plays.
Well, he's here, man. He's here. And, I mean, it's a testament of hard work. I want to go back to Tyler Bird, though, because a couple weeks ago, man, he said that, I don't get on O very much, so I take a lot of pride in my role on special teams. Mm. And now, look, he had a walk-off touchdown, And it is amazing to see what hard work and determination, what that can get for you, man. And it couldn't happen to a better person. Five-star defensive back coming in. He was supposed to be the guy. College career didn't go as planned, and now look, man. Helping your team in a must win situation.
Oh, it absolutely was, because you lose that game Saturday. We were coming in here down in the dumps yet again, staring right down the barrel at 1-6.
No bowl game because you have Alabama the following week.
Yeah.
So
you're staring right at it. But now, at least, again, like Georgia, you still have hope.
Yeah.
And you have a lot more hope now because, again, it might not have been a pretty win. It might not have been a win in which you blew out the competition, got a lot of finesse points, looked elite. It doesn't matter what the scoreboard says. It
not
doesn't.
At all.
It only really matters what it does to the chemistry of the team. That's huge. I mean, it's really huge here.
Huge.
I'm going to say one more name before we hit a break and continue discussion of this game on the other side here. Not an unsung player, because he's a player whose name we know, and he's a player whose name was on some watch list and had some hype. in the preseason here. But, you know, he'd kind of been disappearing a little bit the first half of the season. Came through big, though, 2 sacks. Mr. WGWTFA himself, Daryl Taylor.
Welcome to the 2019 season, sir.
I mean, it's just like the Kentucky game, right? He's coming through when you really need a win. I guess he's more of a big-time player, I guess, in certain situations. I don't know.
They call him Big Game Daryl.
Do they?
Ooh,
I guess we will now.
I like that.
I guess we will now. So much more to get into.
But you could see him come off the edge, like, fast, like, live.
I mean, he beat his guy multiple times.
Yeah, he did.
Whipped him.
Better late than never. Again, goes for Daryl Taylor, goes for Knowledge Warrior. We're hitting this first break of the show. Come back, talk a little bit more about this game here, and touch more on the defensive performance of Tennessee. Also tell you a little bit about what Jeremy Pruitt said at his Monday press conference. And if you would like to hop on the program, just call us at the Next Door Home Group hotline. Our number is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Overtime is hitting the first break on this Victory Monday. Feels good, fellas.
Yes, indeed.
We feel good. Malcolm's looking good.
Hey, stop it now. Gonna make me blush in front of these cameras now.
Hey, I just gotta be honest.
Thank you, brother.
Try to be a man of integrity.
Oh, always, forever.
I try my best right here. Hit the first break of every time. More on the other side. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Oh, a very appropriate music coming in here on this Victory Monday. Feels good.
It does indeed.
Take me back to the days of ringtones on my flip silver LG phone.
Did you used to hold it to like the radio in the car? You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't do it to the car radio a lot.
Everybody be quiet, I'm recording my ringtone.
That's first world 2006 problems if I've ever heard of.
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't do it to the car radio, though. I would do it to, like, my little speakers I have on my PC at home when I still had dial-up.
I could see you right now just like, shh.
I think I did that to Mims one time.
This is why I'm hot?
Yeah.
So I used to do it. I did it to That's That by Snoop Dogg and R. Kelly.
Oh, my God. And, can't be talking about R. Kelly now.
Yeah, no, you can't now. We're going to get booted off the air.
We're going to get canceled.
And my mom would switch it to gospel music real quick. So
good
I can,
on her. Yeah, good on her.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm off topic.
Shout out to Malcolm's mom. No, it's okay. I started this. Think about the struggles we used to go through to get our ringtones. Nobody uses ringtones anymore. Isn't that weird how just like people just stop using any type of ringtones just all of a sudden? Like, it just got totally lame.
Did y'all have signatures?
For like 2 years, I did. Yeah. Early in high school. Because everyone else did.
Yeah, I had a signature.
You didn't want to be the kid without the signature.
No, I had to let you know it was me.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, hey, this is Malcolm's phone texting you. Here's my signature for proof. Getting way off topic here. Guys, you want to call us on the Next Door Home Group hotline? It's 865-546-8200. Our phone line is brought to you by Eli Corman, the Next Door Home Group. They are with Keller Williams Realty. No gimmicks, just results. Eli Corman's team has been rated in the top 5% realtors in the local Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They get the job done and money left in your pocket. They're very straightforward, and they give you a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corman's got a top-notch team and the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry, and they got negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market. To call their office, it's 865-233-9461, or visit them online at nextdoorhomes.com. Here back. Talking about this here, to piggyback talking about the defensive performance. Now, I will also say this. I will qualify what I'm about to say with this. For Mississippi State being coached by Joe Moorhead, who at the time he was hired by Mississippi State, coming from Penn State as offensive coordinator, he was one of the top offensive minds in college football. Mm-hmm. Those offenses that he ran up there under James Franklin, they were no joke. They're absolutely no joke. I mean, hello, when you have Saquon Barkley in your backfield, you utilize him, Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, didn't exactly have Saquon Barkley in the backfield. However, he did have Kylan Hill, SEC's leading rusher, coming into the game. What was he, just shy of 600 yards on the season already?
He's averaged about .125 a game.
Held to 13 yards rushing. I will say that again, 13 yards rushing on 11 carries.
That is unreal, man.
Averaging just a little shade over a yard per carry. Now, going back to Moorhead, though, that did not look like any type of competent offense. They have no receivers. They just don't. And it's coaching malpractice for Joe Moorhead not to start Garrett Schrader. Garrett Schrader is clearly the better quarterback between him and Tommy Stevens. Stevens was trash. You could just wheel out a Waste Connections. Shout out to the sponsors. Waste Connections garbage dump out there, okay? I think they're what, blue or green?
Yeah.
I think they're green. No, that's Waste Management. I think they're more like blue. I don't know what color they are.
They're like a bluish?
I think something like that. You could just roll that out there. I couldn't tell a difference between that and Tommy Stevens. I really couldn't. Now, not to say Garrett Schrader tore us up or anything. He did look a lot better. But their only touchdown drive. Now, with that being said, we still know what we've seen from this Tennessee defense. You've seen Tennessee defense out a lot of times against more superior competition. They've gotten handled in the front seven a little bit in some games. And obviously, we know that we could have seen a lot more so far this season. We finally saw it in a big way here, too. So, man, you held the SEC's leading rusher to 13 yards. That should be applauded. I don't care what the situation is. He's obviously found a way to tear up these other teams. Couldn't do it against Tennessee. Reminds me a lot of shutting down Benny Snell. Drawing a lot of parallels between this game and the Kentucky game. Same type of little parallel here. I mean, Mississippi State and Kentucky, man, they just don't come into Knoxville and win. Mississippi State still hasn't won in Knoxville since the 80s. Again, you don't play Mississippi State every year, but still.
Saw quite a few of Mississippi State fans as well.
They made the trip. They thought they were confident.
I mean, they just thought it was just going to be sunshine and rainbows.
Joe Moorhead was confident, too. He that's one of the games he wanted to play those suspended players. They've really played their suspended players for putting 10 points up against Tennessee. That's funny. Have you seen reactions from their fans on Twitter?
They want him gone.
You thought we wanted Pruitt gone. They all want Joe Moorhead gone. Apparently, Joe Moorhead has been talking crap about Mississippi State fans, like, passive-aggressively.
Yeah.
Said something like, I'm going to worry less about – I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. He said something along the lines of, I'm going to worry less about what Bob from Bogue Cheeto – apparently, there's a place in Mississippi called Bogue Cheeto, by the way. Cheeto, like an I-T-T-O, not like the Cheetos. But still, he's going to worry less about what Bob from Bo Cheeto says and more about what his own team thinks. And then he lays that egg up against a Tennessee team that lost to Georgia State. Yikes! Big time yikes, Joe. Woo! But still yet, man. Fantastic defense here. Now, my question is to y'all, looking past this coming forward week, again, I'm not talking about this game for most of this week. Why would we? Why would we ruin a good thing that's going on right now? I'm not going to do that. The rest of the games, though, against winnable competition, is this defense going to build off what we saw against Mississippi State? Or is Mississippi State just that bad, guys? Because I'm really torn about what to think here, because obviously they've shown what they're capable of. That is a conference team you were able to look very elite against. And we haven't looked elite against conference competition all that often the last few years if you haven't been paying attention.
And it's hard to make us look elite. I think this was more, as much as I hate to say it, I think this game was more Mississippi State kind of giving us the game than us taking it. We were playing hot potato with the game for a little bit. They're going into halftime. We could have stepped on their throat going into the half. We kind of crapped away the end of that drive by just running the ball straight up the middle going into halftime. What is it? Three times after I think it was right after Maurer got bent in half.
The funniest thing after Maurer almost gets decapitated by Schultz-Watkins Field is the fact that, what was it, 7-8 straight plays, we just did not let Garantano throw the football.
Nine. No.
Wow. It was nine?
It was nine?
I was on my couch just laughing at the fact that Chaney did not trust JG whatsoever to throw that football.
That's exactly what I thought, but I went back and looked at it. That was the game plan the whole time because they let Maurer sling it a lot. And once, I mean, yes, he threw two picks, but like they kind of realized, oh, our run game is gashing these fools. They're getting exposed, and we're just going to ice them, which to say that for an SEC team is incredible.
It almost seems like that was a common theme between both teams, though. I told Malcolm in the lobby just looking through the box score again. So both teams play two quarterbacks. Combined completions from four quarterbacks, 21. On, do some quick math here. On 35 attempts from four quarterbacks threw the ball 35 times.
We were playing some big noon, Big Ten football, baby.
I tweeted about the same thing. Once we kicked that one field goal to go up 13-3, I said, okay, we're just going to Big Ten the hell out of this thing to the victory. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
It's whatever. Hey, I mean, we used to win games like this back in the old days when we'd have to play Mississippi State when they had Jackie Sherrill. You'd have to win games like that. Yeah, Maurer only throws it seven times. Garantano only throws it seven times. 10 from Schrader. 11 from Tommy Stevens. Yeah, Maurer had some bad picks.
Yeah.
And we're not talking a lot about that now because obviously we won the game. Oh, a little bit more patience on Maurer, I guess, just because he is the true freshman. That second pick, he cannot throw that football. You cannot go across the field like that, young man. You can't do that.
It is a blessing and a curse about how fearless he is, you know, because he is not scared to put the ball anywhere, which is a blessing. He is not scared to put the ball anywhere. That's a curse, you know? It can hurt your football team, and it did. It really did.
He's got that 2010 Tyler Bray energy.
I see it.
Again, blessing and a curse. I wonder who can throw beer bottles better. I wonder who can recklessly drive a jet ski better.
Give me Bray.
Who can throat slash better?
Give me Maurer.
I need to see a Maurer throat slash.
He's got some juice about him. I don't think Tyler had all that.
The man is from Florida, so...
I need a real Florida man, you know.
I mean, the money spread, that's all I needed to see. Yeah.
I mean,
sign me up.
It is my lock screen.
Sign me up.
It is fantastic. I mean, I'm still a Money Maurer stan until further notice. What is that?
I thought that was a drop. Was it not? Was that my laptop?
Whose laptop's playing? Is that Malcolm's?
It's mine.
Malcolm.
I'm sorry.
You did it again.
I did it again. I was supposed to be on mute.
Very unacceptable.
I'm sorry, guys.
You're okay. If you weren't wearing that shirt, I'd be a little more mad.
Okay.
How can I get mad at you wearing that shirt, though?
You can.
Malcolm comes in here with a constant drip, just like always. He tries to make us look like peasants.
No. Never. Never. You guys are not peasants. We are a team as one.
We're like Voltron. We're like the Megazord and Power Rangers.
Rangers!
What's your favorite Power Ranger?
The black one.
Well, let me rephrase that. I was going to say, I got stuck in like my question. I was going to say favorite like incarnation.
Oh, Power Space. Ranger. Power
really?
Rangers Space. Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Time Force?
Yeah. Okay.
I was like six.
Did y'all like Power Rangers growing up?
Y'all Power Rangers kids? They missed out.
Yeah, man, I hated Power Rangers too, bro.
I wasn't. No Power Rangers, no Pokemon, no Yu-Gi-Oh, no...
Beyblade?
I read Magic Treehouse books and watched historical fiction animated movies.
A young scholar.
Scholar.
He was just getting ready for birthdays from birth. He knew it was
up. Look at that scheming from a young age here. Set another break here. I didn't even get to what Pruitt said. Let's do that real quick on their side. Recap some college football over the weekend as well. Again, 865-546-8200-546-8200. Vols actually beat an SEC team. We're happy about it. Come back more overtime after this. Jerry Pruitt has Monday press conference. Sure, he's very happy. Did you all see Russell's picture? He tweeted out from the Jerry Pruitt show him sitting next to Bob. Like, that's become my favorite Sunday morning tradition. Just
smiling, big as ever.
Pruitt's expression on his face. after every loss this year, he's just had the please kill me look on his face.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was slightly less just kill me. He actually had somewhat of a little grin.
And Jeremy Pruitt's heart grew 3 sizes on Saturday with an SEC victory.
And Jeremy Pruitt took a pinch of skull just 3 times bigger. He's probably sitting there like a pouch, like in his mouth, just letting all that nicotine soak in. It's like, oh, yeah, this is the stuff right here. But seriously, though, coming back out today, some comments about the upcoming, well, you know what, we're still not talking about this game. Let's just skip around here. Select a quote here. Pruitt said, we are improving up front. Our coaches did a nice job of getting our guys ready to play. Our guys executed the plan and probably covered them a little better in the back end. One of the big positives out of the game was the way our offense took over the last 8 minutes of the game. We had a 91-yard drive. We did. When's the last time we've had a 90-plus-yard drive?
1998?
It's got to be something like that. We don't pull those out very often. Pruitt continued by saying it was very positive. We challenged them to do that, and they did that. Gave an update on Brian Maurer, says that he did suffer a concussion, which credit to Jeremy Pruitt actually acknowledging that the word concussion exists. Instead of saying, well, he just got his bell rung. That's all he got. What CTE, what is that? Just like he's looking at asparagus again. What is that? No, I don't believe in the conspiracy that he doesn't believe in concussions. Just, I think this is like the first time he's actually said it. I'm pretty sure. But he did say Brian Maurer is going to be fine. Expects him to play against Saturday. Who are we playing again? I don't know, but he expects him to play Saturday. Pruitt talked about Tyler Byrd. Talked about Byrd. He says he's played in every game on the offensive side of the ball, and it just so happened the balls went to him in this game. He took advantage of it. And it was good to see. Malcolm, going back to what we talked about, Tyler Byrd. When Byrd made that comment earlier about doing all he can to be a good special teams player and all of that, yeah, being that great team player in grinding, in practice, and any action you get on the game, that eventually pays off for you.
It does.
Now him getting big receptions like this, hopefully we see him turn that into more opportunities on the offensive side of the ball, because we've known this since he was a true freshman. We've known the elite speed he possesses.
Burners for days.
All I can think about, I knew he at least had that elite speed A&M game.
Yeah.
When he went off for that long reception. He's just not been able to make it consistent anyway.
Yeah.
He'd probably be targeted more if JG did check down more than once every, you know, season. So.
Fair point.
Just check down every play from now on. If that's what's going to happen. I'm fine with it. Pruitt said Tyler works hard out there, and he's really worked hard on his hands and improving his ball catching ability. That was good to see because he's always been able to run and is a strong runner. Okay. I think so. Byrd only had 1 touchdown reception last year. That was, if you remember, when Keller Chris came in against Alabama.
I remember that.
And we actually started putting points up on the board. That was his only receiving touchdown. Was that his only catch all of last season?
Would not surprise
me. I'm pretty sure you can count his amount of receptions last season on one hand. Matt, can you look that up, please?
That's what I'm doing.
Look up his career stats while you're at it. It's just, again, thinking of guys like Nadja Warrior, thinking of guys like Daryl Taylor, I'd rather see it at the end of your career than not see it at all. I'd rather you not be a lost cause. And I'd most certainly rather you not show anything your entire college career. Yeah. Find a way onto an NFL roster and then become a starter. Manuel Mosley. Congrats to him, though. He's on an undefeated Niners team.
And he's a really big piece. Why, man? Again, another great performance yesterday against the Rams. Crazy.
Good weekend again for VFLs.
Yeah.
And the NFL. We'll get to that in hour two as well. So that's a little snippet of what Pruitt said. Maurer's going to be fine, which, I mean, just the concussion and being expected to play Saturday, I don't want him to play Saturday.
I don't either.
There's no need to throw him out there like that. The way he landed scared the living bejesus out of me.
That's how you break your neck. Seriously.
He popped right back up. Then again, but then the next play, he handed off the ball and just fell straight down. But he's fine, though. looking very happy on the sidelines, jumped up in the student section post-game. First person to greet Jarrett Garantano after the touchdown pass to Tyler Bird. He's fine, which is just a miracle. How do you survive that?
Like
I mean, the head, his head just straight up went a way it's not supposed to go. The human body is not supposed to move in that way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really not sure. What are we trying to do with Oxford here, fellas? Just a bunch of pieces are moving around here.
Well, I was going to ask if you guys saw Pruitt's comment about someone asked him what the game plan was going forward.
Well, I know what you're getting to.
He referenced that Peoria high school that never punts the ball.
Yeah.
It was a funny commentary. I was going to see if I could get the Ox plugged in and play that for
Maybe we might do that people. Tomorrow when we actually talk a little bit about the game. I really just don't want to talk about the next game because it's going to ruin me.
Why? I mean, you just got to expect the L.
Just embrace it.
We can at least talk about the one from last year, which Tyler Bird recorded his only reception of the year in. Fact check. Boom.
Look so that you. Was his only reception period.
He had a one reception for 20 yards and a touchdown throughout the season. Yep, that was his only
What's
play.
What's his 2017 stats?
He had three catches for 27 yards and a touchdown.
He had more than 16, right? I remember him getting more.
He had 15 receptions in 2016 for 209 yards and no touchdowns. He had 63 rushing attempts in 2016. Eight rushing attempts for 63 yards.
I was about to say, 63 rushing attempts.
And then in 2017, he had two rushing attempts for 19 yards.
Money in the bank with the stats. Appreciate you, Matt.
Love it, Matt. We'll take a break here in just a second. Talk some college football over the weekend. Because there were plenty of fantastic games to watch. It was a dream for me Saturday. Got the Tennessee game out of the way early. Get a win.
Yes.
And I just sat on my couch. I had me a truly or five.
Or five.
Or five. It's okay. They're light. I didn't go anywhere. I was fine. I was in my little happy place.
The friends and family suite was lit when Georgia missed that kick after the game.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, everybody in there was rooting for South Carolina to pull off that upset, and it happened probably 30 minutes after our game ended. So that was fun to be there for, too.
Georgia's terrible. It's hilarious. We'll talk about that and some other notable games over the college football weekend. When we return, 865-546-8200 to hop on with us here on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. Justin will greet you when you call in. Recaps of college football over the weekend when we come back.
What's up?
The Georgia Bulldogs. The Georgia Bulldogs. Just Georgia-ing. Just doing Georgia things. What a hell of a week it's been for sports fans in Georgia. Sorry, Malcolm, for the most part.
You know,
Saturday had to make you feel a little bit better.
Oh, it made me feel fantastic because Jake Fromm is who I thought and said he was to everybody.
Maybe want
to
crown him and crown their ass, but they are who we thought they were.
Yeah. I like that.
Three picks. 28-51. Ugh.
He threw two touchdowns, though. Just one went to the other team.
That's true. That is technically true. How about the dude, Israel, whatever is it, how do you say that last name?
I got to find it, man, because I have to say his name correctly because he did what he had to do. Let me see.
Mukuamu, I think. But he had all three of the picks.
Mukuamu, yep.
Mukuamu, Israel Mukuamu, with all three picks. And I think the refs really gifted Georgia on that one holding call. Gave Fromm another chance to get that touchdown. And from that point on, it was definitely a battle of wits between Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart. You know, chess, you gotta be pretty smart to be good at chess.
You do.
Well, it's pretty much like Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp played anti-chess from that point forward.
Yeah.
Because Muschamp sends up Parker White for a 57-yarder, It actually had the leg.
It did.
Parker White turned into Parker Wide, though, and Carolina fans call him that, not me. That's trademarked to them.
Oh,
God. He missed that by a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And then Kirby doesn't know what he wants to do at the end of regulation. I thought they were going to send out Rodrigo to kick almost a 60-yarder.
Same.
I mean, he has one hell of a leg. Why not try it? I guess, and people have said this, the only reason he didn't want to do that is because he was on the Alabama sideline when Chris Davis had the kick six. But that's such a rare occurrence, though, to have a kick six.
It doesn't happen.
And also, he knows what the problem was. Alabama didn't have any athletes out there to tackle someone in case that happened.
Yep.
So maybe he could have fixed that, but no, he decides to go for a Hail Mary. It ends up not happening. They go into overtime. Parker White misses another field goal that would have won South Carolina the game in the first overtime. So then you think, Georgia's going to win this. South Carolina gets the ball to start the second overtime. Parker White actually makes a field goal. But then Georgia's offense gets stopped. Georgia's offense had a hard time actually scoring real points.
Yeah.
They have a very predictable offense.
Run, pass.
It's an insanely predictable offense. And they have, again, what a theme for Georgia football for decades now. They have some of the best athletes. They have some of the most talented players on their roster. And they can't do a damn thing with it.
I don't get it.
So they put old Goggles Blankenship out there. Try sending it to triple overtime. And I watch it live as it happens. As soon as it made a little turn to the left, I fell in my floor laughing.
It was so good, man.
1980.
That's what I sent to the group chat, man.
Say, Malcolm.
1980. College kickers, man.
Kickers who are in college. So, Georgia. Whew. Well, at least they get their disappointment out of the way early this year.
So, now they have to run the table, essentially, right? To even sniff the college football playoff.
Pretty much. And they're not out of it. But my goodness, the AP poll yesterday. They dropped to 10.
Yeah.
They dropped to 10.
Do you think that was generous? I do.
I do as well. South Carolina's not good. Keep in mind, by the way, they took Helinski out of the game early with an injury.
Yeah.
So they're down. Carolina's down to Joyner, their third string quarterback. They lost that South Carolina team.
At home.
Yeah, at home. Ouch. Georgia. Oh, y'all have seen this stat, right?
You about to say, yeah.
Kirby and Mark Rick.
Please tell the folks, because this is unreal. This is unbelievable.
Here we go. Got to give a shout to Stetson, who's not here, because he sent this in the group chat. This is from David Pascal. I think that's how you say his name. He covers the SEC for Chattanooga Times Free Press. The stats of Mark Ritt in Kirby Smart, Georgia. So, let's run through Rick's first four seasons. 2001, 8-4, 13-1, SEC champions. 2003, 11-3, SEC runner-up. 2004, in the midway point of the season, 5-1. Okay? Kirby Smart's first four seasons, 8-5 in 2016. 13-2 in 2017, SEC champions. 11-3 in 2018, SEC runner-up. Right now in 2019, 5-1. So Kirby's worse right now, technically, at this point. He's actually worse. Does it actually have to be a little bit worse to be a Georgia fan?
Yeah.
When you think about it, because they have the dogs, no pun intended. They do. They have no excuses to not win multiple national championships. And they can't even beat damn South Carolina. Not a good South Carolina team either.
Probably the worst one they had in some time. Each and every single position at UGA is stacked. Each position. Offensive line got handled. Handled. They got manhandled out there, guys. So.
Does Georgia just kind of, are they going to take another loss in regular season? That's going to be it. Probably to Florida. And they're going to miss out on the playoff. Maybe get a Sugar Bowl invite if all goes well.
They're going to lose to Auburn.
They also do have to play Auburn.
Wow, forgot about that. Yeah.
Kirby hasn't beaten a team in the West on the road yet.
They do have to go to Auburn, too. Ooh. Could we be looking at a 9-3 regular season for the Dogs?
You would love to see that.
Just hate to see that, man.
So, question.
What's up?
Who represents the East in Atlanta?
Florida. It's still going to be Florida.
Yeah?
It's still going to be Florida. LSU's just really good, and they were playing in Death Valley. Kyle Trask, why has Kyle Trask been playing behind Felipe Franks?
I mean, Felipe Franks must be the best practice quarterback in the history of practice quarterbacks.
Need to quit putting all that stock into practice here. Up against it for hour one. Hour two is coming up on the other side here. Going to do our NFL recap when we first come back here. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned after we get off the air tonight. We got Monday Night Football coverage brought to you by Westwood One. And brought to you by our friends at MyBookie, the official sportsbook of FanRun Radio. Bet, win, get paid. Hour two of overtime's coming up after this.